Obama is visiting Kenya. New nuclear treaty is pending with them. Hey, nukes for everyone. Trump, 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 Trump. Can you believe it? The hoopla Trump is here, Trump is there, and he said this, he said that. He made a run to the border, and no, I don't mean Taco Bell. The people that invited him down weren't even allowed to go see him because their union from Washington said, no, you can't go talk to him because he's speaking too much truth. He has too much passion, and his lead is getting way too big. He has caused an outpouring of things to happen. Speaking of fallout, how about that Ted Cruz getting inspired by Trump, huh? Calling out McConnell and Boehner, telling them they're liars and done all this and haven't done that? You gotta love it. I mean, it made people like Lindsey Graham and John McCain pair up. I mean, there hasn't been such a strong couple like that since the ambiguously gay duo was on Saturday Night Live. Can it be that Trump is inspiring some, just a sum of the quivering lip representatives that we have to grow a spine, possibly a backbone? It's beginning to grow. I hope it's out there. But here's a man who doesn't need to grow a spine or a backbone. He's got both aplenty. What he needs is more neck veins. It's your host, Mr. Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so much there, Dr. K. Of course, that's Dr. Ken Vihek. Great opening. Welcome to the show, folks. Welcome back to the chair there, Dr. K. We missed you last week.
Fun.
All right. That's right, folks. We're here. We're live on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5 The Answer, coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Please don't forget, for the best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. We got a big show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking about just about everything he had in his opening there. We're going to hit at some point during the show tonight. And, of course, because we are live, you can hit it with us as well. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. You know that little thing you did about the nukes?
Yeah.
Everybody
gets a nuke.
A buddy of mine, back when there was the nuclear freeze movement, you remember the nuclear movement? He came up with this idea that everybody should have a little nukie.
Okay.
And, and so he made these little stuffed toys that were patterned after the Fat Boy and the what was the other one? The Fat Boy and Little Boy and Fat Man. That's
little
right.
Boy little and Boy, fat yes. Man. Get them backwards. Okay.
Yeah, the two bombs that were dropped. So everybody could have a little nukie.
Yep.
And then he got the bright idea to make women's lingerie with the little nuclear, you know, the little Fat
the symbol,
Boy.
I'll
leave it there.
Okay, yeah, that's true. Okay.
But everybody wants a nuclear weapon, and Iran's going to get one. It's a done deal. I mean, all this squabbling going on in Washington, D.C. is
much to do about nothing.
It is, because like John Kerry said, nobody cares what Congress has to say about this.
No. And Congress shot themselves in the foot by passing that
Corker bill. That, it was ridiculous.
And I think, you know, in retrospect, I think they did that on purpose so that they could actually do this and say, hey, we tried. We just couldn't stop it.
Well, after hearing Ted Cruz on the floor of the Senate today, I'm inclined to believe you.
Yeah.
This guy, Mitch McConnell, is selling us down the river, folks. He has made several. They can't be called blunders. These aren't blunders. These are purposeful.
You can't screw up this bad.
No, these are purposeful acts that he has sold us out down the river. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be repercussions. For instance, this. You're absolutely right. The Senate did not have to do anything. And these, before they passed the Corker bill, because these sanctions had been passed as a matter of legislation and signed into law, it was going to take an act of the legislature to release the sanctions.
Yep.
So if they didn't like the deal and didn't want to release the sanctions, guess what they had to do?
Nothing.
Not a thing. Nothing. Not a thing, and tell the president, no, we're not going to lift a finger. We're not going to hear any amendments. We're not going to do nothing, sir. And then, you know, when he starts to complain, just say, Mr. President, elections have consequences.
Right. And we won, too.
And that's right. And we won, too. And we heard that from a guy, you know, that you might respect. That is yourself.
Yeah.
And what goes around comes around, sir. And that's what politics is all about, because if it's not going to be about that, we're going to get run over roughshod. And that's what's happening right now.
Well, we don't have to get run over roughshod. They're just laying down.
Well, but once again, to hear Ted Cruz tell it today, it's not a matter of them laying down. It's a matter of them colluding with the other side. And the latest the incident, if you didn't hear, Ted Cruz stood up on the floor of the Senate today and excoriated Mitch McConnell. Called him a liar, said that he's a sellout. These are my words, okay? He said it more tactfully.
Yeah, a little bit more diplomatically.
Exactly. And he said it in a calm, well-thought-out, well-articulated speech. Mm-hmm. And he called McConnell out, and he said, you've told us one thing in meetings, and you've done another thing on the floor. I asked you if there was a deal for the Import-Export Bank when we passed the TPC or whatever it is. That's the trade pact when they gave him fast. This was another blunder.
We are going to
suffer for that. You mark my words. And Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and the likes of St. Pauli girl Ryan were pleading with us stupid conservatives to just understand that they knew better than us, that Barack Obama was going to somehow, after all of his experience of screwing us, was going to do us a good deal this time.
Sure.
No, they've given him more power with this fast-track trade authority to screw us over, and he's going to do just that. And I'll tell you about that in a minute, because that's another consequence of what McConnell and Boehner have been doing and or not doing on purpose. So Cruz asked them after that vote, when he was suspicious because of things that had been transpiring, he said, look, was there a deal on the Import-Export Bank as part of all this? And McConnell said, there is no deal, there is no deal, there is no deal, three times, evidently, in this luncheon meeting. Well, lo and behold, it happened today, and it happened as a result of a deal. Mitch McConnell is, and another thing that Cruz said about him is that he's no better than, he's just like Harry Reid.
Harry Reid.
Dirty Harry Reid. And sure enough, he is. He's using Dirty Harry tactics, and he's doing Dirty Harry's work for him. He's passing Dirty Harry's bills for him.
And nothing's changed.
Nothing has changed.
It doesn't matter. You just change the figurehead. That's all we did.
It's like my barber who moved to Miami, and I wish he'd come back, but he used to say, he said it a little bit more raunchily, but, you know, same old manure, just different flies.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
And that's what we got here. Same old manure, just different flies.
Yeah.
Instead of Harry Reid, now it's Mitch McConnell. And the Import-Export Bank. Now, just real quickly about the Import-Export Bank. This is one of these ancient government programs that might have been a good idea at the time, but is no longer needed. The financial markets have left this thing in the dust.
Yep.
All this is a way for the government to take your taxpayer money and give it to corporations. Now, these are the same people, I'm talking about Democrats like Obama, Harry Reid, and others. These are the same people that would say the corporations aren't paying enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If that's the case, why are you taking our money and giving it to them? Now, a couple of the largest recipients of the Import-Export Bank, and the way it basically works is the Import-Export Bank loans money to foreign entities so that they will buy things from us. So in essence, it's a form of income distribution. We are giving them money to buy things from us. So like Boeing aircraft or like GE generators. So why not just give them the Boeing aircraft and the GE generators and give the money straight to Boeing? That's in essence.
That would be illegal.
Yeah, that would be illegal.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right. No, we can't do that. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Boeing has already come out to say they don't need the Import-Export Bank, but if it's there, they'll utilize it.
Well, yeah. Turn down money.
And GE has every bank in the country, you know, giving them a huge line of credit. They don't need the money.
Nope.
No, once again, what this is all about is income redistribution from the United States to foreign entities.
Yep.
And so here's the Republicans. Okay, folks?
Let's do that.
Take notes
here.
This is the Republicans colluding with the Democrats to do just that. Now, obviously, there's a handful of Republicans who don't want to do this. Dan Webster's against this. Mm-hmm. Bill Posey over there on the coast is against this. Obviously, Ted Cruz is against this. I don't know where Marco Rubio stands on it, but I do know that Cruz gets it. Now, you mentioned you tied him in with Donald Trump.
Yep.
Cruz gets it.
Mm-hmm.
He understands. Plus, he's kind of the outsider anyway. His Senate colleagues in the Republican Party hate his guts, and you can see why. And obviously, they're not going to like him much more after this, at least not the establishment ones. But this is what I've been saying. If the other Republicans, if any of them are paying any attention to what Trump is doing, pay attention to what his message is and who's listening to it. Ted Cruz is tapping into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean he's going to take Trump down or anything. But what it means is he gets it. He knows what we need. He said it on the floor of the Senate today.
Right. But if we go back, right when Trump first came in, I said that he's going to be able to say things that these people are afraid of saying, and pretty soon that's going to become the norm, and the other candidates are going to begin to say it.
Yeah, well.
So I said it here, it comes out there.
goes in one end, comes out the other.
There you go.
And so this is, you know, and I'm not surprised that Cruz is the one. Because, you know, like I said, he's kind of an outsider anyway. Even though he's in the Senate, he's really not in the Senate. I've read stories where when he goes into the dining room during lunchtime and there are other Republicans in there, they won't sit with him. None of them. Not even good old Rand Paul or Marky Rubio.
Really?
They won't have anything to do with Ted Cruz. You want to know why?
No.
Because he's spoiling their little party going on there, see?
Yeah.
You know, once again, that's why I say it's politics is like professional wrestling. They get out there in the ring, and they wrestle each other and beat each other to a pulp. As soon as they get behind the curtain, they're hugging each other.
It's a love fest.
Great match out there, man.
Yeah.
We really did it tonight. You know, did you hear the crowd?
Yep.
Did you hear the taunts? Did you hear the cheers? You know, it's a good match when you get both the taunts and the cheers, right?
Yep.
And that's what the politicians are after, too.
Sure.
Ted Cruz is not. Donald Trump is not. These men are serious about the problems that we are facing right now. And very few of these other candidates are. And it is certainly not the supposed front runners other than Trump. So, Ted Cruz, good for Ted Cruz.
Yep.
I think we should start calling the Republican leadership chambermaids.
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 Okay.
Okay, but not M-A-I-D-S, M-A-D-E-S.
Okay.
Okay, you know, kind of like made men.
Yeah.
They were chambermaid, so now they're rhino Republicans.
Yep.
See, they've been chambermaid. They've bought into the sweet little game, the sweet little party they got going on up there at our expense. And there's a whole litany, by the way, of amendments Cruz mentioned that McConnell won't allow a vote on. He won't allow a vote on defunding Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Maybe he hasn't seen the videos yet. You suppose?
Yeah, I don't think that's possible.
I don't know. He won't allow an amendment of...
Well, she did apologize.
He won't allow an amendment on the sanctuary cities.
Yeah.
He will allow amendments on import-export bank. In other words, he will allow votes on these things. And guess what? He's going to stick in another vote to defund Obamacare, which obviously means nothing.
Yep.
Because even if it were to pass both houses, the president is sure to veto it. It's a waste of time, and if it's a waste of time, it's a waste of our money.
It's a distraction.
It is a distraction. It's meant to make him actually look like he's some sort of conservative.
We're doing something.
He had a chance when Ted Cruz did his filibuster thing on the floor of the Senate to defund Obamacare, to actually fight Obama, and he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, they fully funded Obamacare. And so he is doing...
How's that feel?
Yeah. And then I told you, folks, I told you the Sunday night that it happened, I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks ago on a Sunday, you can go to our archive at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and check out the Sunday shows. I believe it was in one of the first or second segment of that night's show, because O'Connell had been on the morning show that morning, Chris Wallace, I believe, Fox, talking about this Iran deal. Okay, it was on the verge of passing, or had just been signed. And he said, you know, don't worry, it's going to be an uphill battle for the White House to get the votes that they'll need to sustain the veto. All the while knowing that they didn't have the votes to override a veto. And that's becoming crystal clear to everyone now. And by the way, everybody's beginning to notice what we've been saying on this show. I said it the day that they did it, that Corker bill was a porker. It was a huge mistake. We got porked in the process. The Senate gave over to the president. The same president that they keep complaining that he's stepping out of bounds, he's doing more than this constitutional authority gives him. No, they gave to that president their power as the Senate to really have a say in this deal. This is what we're dealing with here. And what Ted Cruz told us today, which is valuable information, is this is not idiocy. This is not doofistry. This is purposeful collusion between the Republican leadership and the Democrats. We cannot stand for this. But I hope you'll stand by for just a few minutes because we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
You're going to put some stents in Chris's neck veins.
Open them up. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries, and we are coming to you live on AM 660 The Answer and FM 105.5, and that's our loser song for that's for Hillary. That's the other huge news today, and that news is that two federal government inspector generals who have been looking into her email situation have recommended a Justice Department investigation. Now, we're going to have to see if old Loretta Lynch, which was another thing Ted Cruz was complaining about on the floor of the Senate today, how Mitch McConnell and the boys, you know, rushed that little vote on through when he and others had problems with it, that we'll see if they pursue this investigation. But it's going to be kind of hard when you have two inspector generals and a whole lot of questions about that email. And evidently the server has been destroyed. And if that's the case, that could have been.
Say it isn't so.
who would have done that, right? But if that's the case, that's probably a federal crime in and of itself, destruction of evidence, if there is going to be an investigation. So, and they say that Hillary Clinton lied over and over about the emails. Now, refresh
the Beacon of Truth lied to us?
Refresh my memory, Ken, but isn't it against federal law to lie to a federal investigator? Isn't that what Scooter Libby got in trouble for back with that whole Valerie Plame thing?
Well, it depends on what your definition of is.
I guess it is. I guess it is. But this is huge news. It's put a pall over, even more of a dark cloud over the Hillary Clinton campaign, which seems to not be able to get off of the ground. And even the liberal media is noting this. It is obviously a train wreck, no pun intended, given the movie and the shooting in Lafayette last night. But her campaign is going nowhere, and the Democrats are beginning to realize it. And they're beginning to realize it, watching themselves what's going on with Donald Trump, that they are beginning to realize that there is some really fired up people out here. And we're looking for somebody to get fired up behind. Mm-hmm. And if it's going to be Donald Trump, it's going to be Donald Trump. If it's going to be Ted Cruz, it's going to be Ted Cruz. But what they understand is Hillary ain't got it to get that kind of reaction. She just doesn't have it. It's not in her persona. It's not in her demeanor. It's not in her brand. I mean, and how are you going to brand an old woman, I'm sorry for saying so, but an elderly woman as somebody full of fire, you know, and can deal with problems like we're facing in this world and get people really fired up to follow you in the process? She's trying to get people fired up so that they won't listen to the problems that she has, not so that they'll follow her enthusiastically. I don't think I was wrong when I said I didn't think she was going to run. Obviously, she's running. I don't think she's going to make it to the finish line.
No, I'm kind of hoping not.
Well, I'm thinking that we'd be better if she did.
Yeah.
I'm hoping on this one that I'm wrong because she is such a weak candidate that pretty much whoever we pick is going to win. And that's why it's so important for us in the primary to pick the right Republican. We have an opportunity to take our country back, not just from the liberals, but from these rhino Republicans. And let me tell you something. They are just as big, if not a bigger problem, because they are eating us alive from within. They are supposed to be our allies. We have put them into positions of power thinking that they would undo the things that we don't like, and all they are doing is making them more and more entrenched.
Yeah, but you got to admit, both benches have the strength of a T-ball team.
All right, stick around, folks. We'll be coming back. We got a whole lot more to talk about. All right, so stay with us.
You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
And we are back. This is The American Adversaries on 660 AM. The Answer, also on what FM station there, Chris?
FM 105.5, The Answer.
105.5 FM, so that's stereo. FM. How about that?
That's right. That's right. And, of course, the phone number is the same, no matter which channel you're listening on, 407-774-8255. We are here. We are live. So don't hesitate to give us a call if you want to be a part of the show. And we got a lot, as I said, more to talk about. But just once again, Hillary Clinton is on thin ice. And she is not. And another thing that is perplexing the Democrats about her campaign is she's not generating any enthusiasm amongst one of Barack Obama's key constituencies. Actually, two of them, but one of them in particular.
He has a key constituency?
He's got several, actually.
Okay.
The Utes.
The Utes.
The Utes. You know, remember the movie?
Yeah. A two what?
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
Thank you. Old Fred Gwynn.
Fred Gwynn. That's right.
Herman.
Herman Munster. She is not. You know,
she kind of looks like
she's
him.
Not. She kind of does.
Even with the makeup, they got the same dark eyes.
just put her in some of those elevator shoes, and she'll be right there. Probably have the same skin tint.
I've never heard her laugh, but she probably laughs the same way.
I would. She is going to be soon, I think, having to explain to people why she's still in this. You know, why is she?
Why she hasn't bowed out yet?
Well, the old question of why do you really want to be president? Because she's just not firing people up. Nothing there.
I think we're looking at this the wrong way. I don't think she really, really wants to be president. I think she just wants to get enough donations to her foundation so she can go home and roll around in it and be comfortably supported the rest of her life.
That's for sure. Yeah, roll around in the money, so to speak. Yeah. In the money. Speaking of in the money, let's go to the phone lines and see what Craig has to say. Craig, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Howdy.
Hey, you know, I used to race cars. I still build race cars. But
cool.
The thing about racing cars is you got to set the car up so that it wins the entire race, whether it's an endurance race or a sprint race.
Gotcha.
Okay. And there's one person, and paired up with Ted Cruz, he dominates Hillary in every single swing state. I'd say they could do pretty good in California. That's Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. It's unbeatable.
You think
the Republicans would be derelict in their duty for getting rid of those two?
Now you're saying they would be the ideal ticket?
Yeah, they're not any. They'll beat anybody the Democrats could possibly put up against them because of the youth. The young people voting.
You have hit on something there because Rand Paul does match up. He is actually the candidate that beats Hillary the most. In other words, in state after state after state.
Right.
And a lot of it does have to do with the more independently minded young voters. So I think you're onto something there. Now, would you put Cruz or Rand Paul at the top of the ticket?
Rand Paul, I think he has to be at the top. Ted Cruz will make an excellent president. He'll also make a very good vice president and the Senate leader.
Well, the president of the Senate.
Yeah.
I would put it the other way around. Because I think Ted Cruz has a better, how should I say this, a better grasp of where the country exactly needs to go. I think he's a little bit more focused than Rand Paul is. I think Rand Paul is sort of a little bit all over the place.
He's a little more grounded.
Yeah, I think so. But not in terms of the political strategy there, I think that would be an extremely powerful ticket because you would be reaching out to Hispanics with Ted Cruz, and a lot of them would vote for him, and you would be getting a lot of the youth vote. You'd be getting, of course, all of the white male vote, or the vast majority of it. You would get probably have a good chance of getting the majority of the white female vote. And there's a good chance they might get 10% of the black vote, maybe even more. Because
I could believe the black vote would go for them, just because I think the black people that I've talked to, you know, around town, they're kind of fed up with the whole situation.
Well, I think they are, too. And the more Christian the black people you talk to are, the more fed up they are, especially when it gets to this gay marriage and stuff. That's not what they bought into. That's not what they wanted. That's not what they thought they were going to get with this administration.
Yeah, and one more thing. Rand Paul is the one who proposed the legislation to end the funding to Planned Parenthood.
He has an amendment. That's right. He, as a matter of fact, I heard him talking about that today. He's going to try to put that amendment forward again Sunday. And so we'll see. We'll see what the leadership does. I mean,
what does he know? He's just a doctor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just. But I tell you, that if that position, if McConnell sticks to it, if any Democrat sticks to defending these people, it's going to be harder and harder to do because we're just seeing the beginnings of this.
Yeah.
We haven't even heard the worst of it yet. And just think, for instance, how do they get these organs after they get the baby out? What do they do to have to get the organs? Think about that for a minute.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, so, you have to, you know, take care of that particular part, and it's gruesome. Hitler, I don't think Hitler was as bad as these people.
Well, actually, I'm calling them, and I've got it right here on my outline, and Ken has a copy, so he can tell you. Planned Parenthood Nazis. I'm labeling them Nazis. This is Nazi. This is experimenting on human beings is what this is.
This is Mengele.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. And that's their the irony is that's their legitimate their rationalization for being able to do this.
Sure.
Is so that we can experiment,
this is research.
Right? Experiment to end diseases like Alzheimer's, like. What do baby lungs have to do with Alzheimer's, with brains? Now you're a brain, you're a skull doctor, right?
Yep, that's me.
What do lungs and hearts and livers and kidneys have to do with Alzheimer's disease?
Other than supplying the brain with the oxygen and blood they need, not a whack.
So they're probably not going to be very useful in the study of how to cure,
especially
or prevent.
After you crush the brain of the child.
If anything,
before you harvest the organs.
If anything, that would have been the logical organ you would think would provide some sort of tissue. So we're, you know, this is.
Yeah,
as bad as it gets, because this is not in the name of war. This is not even in the name. I dare say this is worse than what the Islamic State is doing, because we are doing it to the most defenseless. We are doing it as a matter of course. And there's money transacting as a part of the process. I dare say this is worse than the Islamic state cutting people's heads off in the name of religion. I dare say this is worse.
Yeah.
And we cannot allow this to continue. And if Mitch McConnell gets in the way, we just got to bowl him over. We got to figure out some way to make him irrelevant. Hey, Craig, have you got any Roxy Pacifics? It's summer. It's a lot of bug burns and bug bites and burns going on. You got any of that stuff?
No, I don't know. What are you talking about?
Roxy Pacifics. Have you ever heard us talking about that on the air?
It's no.
Great stuff.
It's great stuff. Ken will tell you. Tell him about it, Ken.
Oh, yeah. As a diabetic, I put it on where I put my needle sticks in when I measure my blood a couple times a day, and it helps the scarring go away, and it looks like I don't have any needle sticks in my hand at all.
It's
stuff. Helps you heal real fast.
It's all natural. It's kelp-based. It's easy to use. It's safe to use. You can even use it on kids or the elderly or your pets, and it's good for anything that ails your skin. So
Larry used to gargle with it.
That's right. Whenever I get a tickle in the throat, I squirt some back there, you know, like they used to do with those perfume bottle-like things. That's right. Craig, if you'll stay on the line and give Nick your information, we'll send you a free bottle. Actually, the Roxy's will send you a free bottle, a sample bottle of Roxy Pacifics, and you can try it out.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call. Excellent
Appreciate
call.
Appreciate the call.
Excellent call. That's a good ticket.
Yep.
That is a good ticket.
I like it.
I do, too.
Because, you know, we met Rand. Yes,
we did.
Dinner.
Well,
you know,
we saw him speak. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I met him because you delayed.
That's right. That's right. You got to see him.
I got to get up close and personal. And we both kind of agreed that, you know, he needs more seasoning in order to be presidential. He's as intelligent as all get out. You know, he's well thought through, but he still has that little bit of a disconnect that'll come with maturity.
Yeah.
And you put him in the vice presidency for 8 years, and, hey, you know, you can get some pretty good seasoning in there. I mean, if you apply yourself, unlike Biden.
And one thing that Rand is a little bland.
Yeah.
He's a little bland. He needs to be a little more excitable.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not like me with the veins popping out and everything,
you know,
but he needs to be a little bit more of an excitable boy.
Yeah. And I think we should have got a caricature of you with the veins. that would have been neat.
Next time we do the thing at Cafe Positano. Hey, speaking of Cafe Positano, folks, if you'd like to do something tomorrow night, go over there and have dinner and take in the Chad Crib Band. They're a four-piece band. You know, usually they just have a duet or a single over there, but every now and then they bring in the Chad Crib Boys. And they do a great job with classic rock, and they got a great repertoire. So catch them tomorrow night. They go on at 9 o'clock, but, of course, Cafe Positano is open all day. And you can make reservations if you like, if you want to call them to make those reservations. 407-774-8080 is the number, 407-774-8080. The Chad Crib Band at Cafe Positano tomorrow night. And we're putting together our next remote broadcast from Cafe Positano, probably going to be in September. We're going to probably wait through the heat of August.
Get the heat out of there, yeah.
Exactly. But what we're going to do is about that time, we'll have been on the air 5 years.
Wow.
Labor Day weekend will be 5 years for us. So that'll be our next reason to have a party, right?
Hey, any reason.
That's a good enough one anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And as part of the festivities, we're going to have us a spaghetti eating contest.
Ooh. Okay,
so we're gonna, you know, you need to get one of the Shriner guys.
No, I'm gonna get Reggie on my team.
Oh, all right, well, Reggie Branch is gonna be one of the contestants.
He's on my team.
Mateo from Cafe Positano has volunteered to be one of the contestants, and we're gonna put together a fun little thing. Maybe we'll, you know, have some, you know, prize money or something like that, a prize gift card. I think we can
get some of our sponsors to pony up.
Yeah,
that could be fun.
This is gonna be a lot of fun. Speaking of sponsors, I thought I saw Aubrey Nick name up here on the screen. Aubrey, call back if you have the chance. In the meantime, we'll take a break and come back and take your call too if you want to. 407-774-8255.
I wonder if our buddy Al is going to vote for Hillary. I'd like to have him call in and explain why he would do that. That'd be neat to hear.
All right. So there you go. Call us now, Al. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, where we're hanging out the dirty laundry on Planned Parenthood again tonight. And once again, these videos, they're going to be a lot more of them, and they're going to be even more grotesque and gruesome. And it's about time. Mm-hmm. We found out that this was going on, and it's about time we put an end to it. And if Mitch McConnell's going to get in the way, we just kind of have to figure out a way to get around him or run right over him. And this is just something that we cannot do as a society. Ken, what kind of person would it take to just so callously be able to not just do this, but to sit down and talk about it just without any feeling at all?
Okay, now, let's go back to what we were talking about before. Why are they doing this? They say they're doing it for research.
Right.
Right. Now, when I address this on my classes at UCF, I tell my students, you have to keep in mind that researchers are amoral individuals. Not immoral, but amoral. They don't care what they're doing to whatever. They're looking for cause and effect. They're looking for a particular result. They're looking and they're just doing research. So it doesn't matter to them whether you give them, a tsetse fly, whether you give them a rat, a rabbit, a monkey, or a child. It doesn't matter. Because all they're looking for is the end result of the research. So you're dealing with, you know, somebody that has sociopathic abilities, somebody that can compartmentalize all their emotions, all their feelings, pull them out when they need them, and that's it. So that's what you're looking at, and that's a pure researcher.
You say that's a sociopathic thing?
Sociopathic, yeah. Because they have emotions, but they just don't use them all the time. They're able to, you know, pull them out when they need them.
But aren't most sociopaths associated with criminals?
Depending on the way they were raised, depending on what their job codes are, sure.
In other words, like for instance, serial killers, aren't they sociopaths?
Psychopaths.
Psychopaths. I'm sorry.
They have no feeling, no remorse, things like that.
A sociopath has feeling and remorse, but can put them aside for a certain task.
Sure, yeah, and one of the perfect examples of that was Bill Clinton. Remember when he was leaving Ron Brown's funeral and he was seen crying?
Well, he was seen laughing.
Laughing. And then in one step, he goes to crying because he caught the camera out of the corner of his eye.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
That's being able to pull emotion out and use it when you need it.
All right.
That's a sociopath.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone. Aubrey called back. Aubrey Kahn.
There he is.
Hey, how you doing tonight, my friend?
All right. How's everybody?
Good. It just gets me upset like the Dickens when I talk about this Planned Parenthood stuff. There's nothing that we talk about on this show that upsets me more than stuff like this.
Well, you know my views on that, too.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Yeah,
is
we gotta close them down.
Is that why you called?
No. I was listening to you guys talking about Billary.
Oh, Billary. you cut that out now.
And, you know, when you think about it.
That's my squeeze.
Know, she hasn't come out with anything new. She's losing votes and favorability.
Yeah.
But we know there's no love lost between her and Obama.
That's true too.
And what are the odds that Obama is setting her up as a decoy, and then when the time is right, he's going to destroy her and bring in an ultra left wing liberal to run, and that because the Republicans will have wasted tons of money in digging up dirt against Hillary. And they won't have that much time to dig up the dirt on this new presidential hopeful.
Well, so you think this is like a bait and switch kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, okay. I think you're absolutely right.
Put it past him.
I think that's exactly what's going on. I think that's exactly what's happening. I think that Hillary Clinton all along is playing the part of a decoy, either willingly or unwillingly.
Like I said, she's padding her foundation.
Exactly.
She really does want to be president.
I think you're right. But Barack Obama, and I've said this on the show before, he would prefer Jeb to her.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be 6'4" and brown, right. Brown flowing locks. It's not going to happen.
Well, you can do like the girl Donnell or whatever her name is that's white and wants to be black.
Oh yeah,
You can just think hard enough and it'll become true, right? You click your heels three times. But I want to get back to Aubrey's point because Aubrey, I think that's exactly what's happening here with the Democrats. I think. And this is why I said early on the Republicans shouldn't waste too much time criticizing Hillary. They should just get on with their message and criticize liberals in general.
Right.
Hillary Clinton is not going to be there at the end. And I think the person that you're talking about that they're getting ready to spring on us, I think Trevor Loudon told us on Monday's show. It's a guy by the name of Joaquin Castro. He's the Secretary of the Housing and Urban Development, HUD. And
right.
He is a super diehard in the wood communist liberal of the Obama vein. He's a Hispanic. He's young. He's handsome. He's the Hispanic Obama. And he's a huge Obama, supporter. And he get along. I think that he is the dark horse candidate. And I think that it's going to be probably around the first of the year that this is all going to happen. And I think that the Republicans are going to be, if they don't wise up, they're going to be caught dumbfounded, and that they will be put in the position that if they have coalesced behind somebody like Jeb, they'll take a licking. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a powerful candidate anyway. So it is even more important than ever that we pick someone who is a good, solid conservative, not just any old Republican. A good, solid conservative has to come out of this primary process or we are doomed.
Yeah,
this is our chance.
Someone who can stand up and call Mitch McConnell a liar?
Well, it's we got to make sure that we get the right person in the White House, and I think the country understands this. That's why people are coalescing behind Donald Trump. They understand we need something different. We can't just have one of the same old flies again. I mean, you know, same manure, just a different fly. We have to have something radically different. And that's why I think Ted Cruz and, like Craig said, Rand Paul are perfectly positioned, because they have purposely positioned themselves, you know, as sort of outsiders, even though they're in the Senate. Rand Paul with his libertarian bent, and Ted Cruz with his, you know, feisty attitude and wanting to stand up for true conservatism, they are the ones who could be the Trumps in this thing, and the other ones are going to end up being chumps.
Yeah. And, well, let's take a look.
A bunch of them there already.
Yeah, but let's do some research and try to figure out when was the last time a vice president and presidential ticket came out of the guys that were running together. You know?
Yeah.
Has that ever happened before?
I don't think so. Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
We'll think about it. We'll find out. Aubrey, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Alrighty. Hey, my roof still has a hole in it.
Aubrey, come over and inspect that for you. We'll be right back, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Welcome back to the American Adversaries here on 660 AM and 105.5 FM. Hey, if you're just tuning in with us, what you missed in the first hour, we talked about Trump and the Trump effect. We talked about the fact that it's really nice here in the United States right now because Obama's in Kenya. We also talked about Hillary and Ted Cruz and Mitch McConnell, all those little wussies we have up there in Washington.
Yes,
and
sir.
Chris got fired up, and we had to settle him down a little bit more. And now we're getting into some other subjects here.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick. We are here live. We're coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And because we are live, you can call us at 407-774-8255.
And we're still waiting for Al to call and tell us why he's voting for Hillary.
If anybody wants to call and tell us, we're interested to know.
I'd just love to have a conversation with anyone that's a Democrat that could speak intelligently.
You don't hold your breath.
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to.
Okay, all right. Ken, you are a veteran, Navy veteran.
Oh, yes.
When you signed up, did you go to one of these recruiting offices?
Oh, yeah.
Where was it?
It was in a little bit of a strip mall in Penn Hills, Pennsylvania.
Right, Pennsylvania.
Right, when I grew up, yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Of course, you saw about the Chattanooga shooting.
Yes,
I
did.
The attack, I'm calling it. When was it, let me put it this way, when you went into that recruiting office back then, was anybody armed back then? Were military installations better secured back then than they are now?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely, because the recruiter that we had was a hunter.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he had his hunting rifles there.
So he was armed just because he was
a hunter.
Okay.
Not that he was wearing an official sidearm.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, hey, he had weapons there.
Right.
You know, and we used to play with them.
Now,
yeah.
When the Navy base was here in Orlando,
yeah.
they had two entrances.
I went to boot camp there.
You did?
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
So did you hang out at the Fashion Square Mall? On
yeah, we did. Went down to Rosie O'Grady's on Drunk Weekend. I mean, Liberty Weekend after graduation.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
The Cheyenne Saloon.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Yes. Big Fat Mama singing.
Yeah.
That place was guarded with guard. Was it Marines or SPs?
Marines.
And they had weapons, didn't they?
Yes, they do.
And they showed the weapons,
yes,
didn't they?
Yes, they do.
When was it that our military installations disarmed?
I believe that was in 1992 when I signed that executive order.
Is that right?
Yes, it was.
1992. Because of Bill Clinton.
Yes.
What?
But in fairness, he wasn't the first and the only. When we set up the reason the barracks were bombed, right? Over
in Beirut.
Yeah, in Beirut, the bombing. The Marines were walking posts with unloaded M-16s because Congress, Democratic Congress at that time, had mandated that they weren't allowed to carry bullets.
And I believe that's one reason why Reagan decided to bring our Marines home after
yes.
that, because he knew that he wasn't going to have the cooperation from Congress
exactly.
to protect our Marines. He wasn't going to leave them there to be picked off.
Mm-hmm. But Clinton made it official that we're not allowed to, the military can't carry weapons.
So if that's the case, then an executive order could reverse it.
Easily.
Or instantly. Certainly an act.
Instantly.
Or certainly an act of Congress could do the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is a I know that the House, I believe, has passed a bill. I think that there are some bills being sponsored.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple that are being sponsored.
Yeah, to try to undo that. Mm-hmm. We'll see where that goes. But what do you think about civilians coming out to guard these recruiting offices?
I'm all for it.
And what do you think about the Pentagon saying that, I believe it's the Pentagon that issued a directive that until further notice, recruiters should not wear their uniforms and should keep the shades drawn at the recruiting offices?
Then why have the recruiting office open?
And in some places, they have closed them down.
Yeah. I'm sorry that, you know, the idea of having the recruiting office in the community is so that people can see the armed branches of the service on display. You know, and as much as we joke about recruiters, you know, we have things like saying, how can you tell when a recruiter is lying? His lips are moving. You know, we have utmost respect for these guys that are out there that are bringing the quality people into our service. They do a great job. You want them to be ingrained in the community they're in. It serves no purpose for them to go to work without a uniform. You might as well just make them civilians.
It might as well.
I'm sorry. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. You know, I'll bet you if you talk to any of the recruiters, they wouldn't be happy with it.
If we were on a real war footing, do you think we would have this same mentality?
I would hope not. I would really, really hope not. You know, I think things would be a lot different. If we were in a real war setting and this was happening, you know, as it is now, where we realize, hey, we're targets.
Yeah.
Then I think, you know, okay, you would see the recruiters wearing sidearms.
All right, right. Okay, I want to take Rick's phone call because I just got this from the same thing from Carl Jackson. I got a couple of things from Carl, but let's go take the phone call now. Go ahead, and Rick, thanks for calling. We appreciate you being out there. Tell us what you found.
Well, I heard that 6 weeks, 2 months ago, there was an amendment to a bill before the Senate that would allow the arming of recruiters and military in places like that. And it, you know who killed it?
It was just 6 weeks ago. Tell us.
John McCain.
And why would he do that?
Because he's a progressive rhino.
Well, that's it. That's it. The progressives are running the show. And they have taken over the Democratic Party, and they're in the process of taking over the Republican Party. And they've always been there to some degree. Teddy Roosevelt was the first progressive Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know who's going after conservative Republicans this next election cycle?
The Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, that's another reason why I say we have chambermaids.
Yeah.
I'm calling the leadership in the Senate in particular, but also the House, I'm calling them chambermaids. And I'm spelling maids M-A-D-E-S, not M-A-I-D. So they're made. They're made by the chamber. The chamber owns them. They're beholden to the chamber. They're beholden to one another, and they're certainly not beholden to us. And we're the ones who are getting rubbed out in the process.
So, that's right. They're not representing the constituency anymore.
No,
not even close.
Absolutely not. And
I got to run for Grayson's seat. I'm telling you, I really got to run for it.
You really need to give it some thought.
I'm going to give it some serious thought. Let the listeners call in and let me know what they think.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool.
Rick, if you were in Dr. K's district, would you vote for him?
In a heartbeat.
All right. Oh, thank you, sir.
I am in Alan Grayson's district.
And oh, you and me both.
It's an embarrassment.
He really is.
Well, he's going to be moving on to the Senate, so...
Seat's opening up.
Seat is opening up. But, yeah, it was McCain who, for some reason, squelched that amendment. And we shall see if it's is able to make its way back to the floor. Maybe he was doing the bidding for McConnell, but he certainly wasn't doing, you know, the bidding for the military. That's for sure. And
there comes a time when the Alzheimer's and dementia kicks in, and you really, it's just time to go.
Well,
it makes no sense. If we trust them to hold M16s and fight battles, why do we not trust them to carry a sidearm?
Yeah, people that are trained to use weapons, we take them away from them.
And this is a time of war.
Yes, it is.
This is why I say we can't say we're fighting terrorism. And so we are at war, and the nation needs to be at war footing. And we need to understand that the enemy is trying to bring the fight to us here and will continue to try, and will only do so more and more and more as long as we stay vulnerable and weak and unprotected.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks, Rick. Thanks for
appreciate
being out
it,
there.
Rick.
We appreciate you being a loyal
appreciate
listener.
Appreciate your vote.
Yeah, absolutely. this is once again, our real problem isn't so much the Democrats. It's the Republicans. I mean, we expect the Democrats to do stupid stuff like this, to do stuff that is un-American, if you will, and certainly not protecting our military wherever they are. I don't care wherever they are. We owe it to them to protect them. If we ask them to wear the uniform, we owe it to them to give them everything that we can to protect them.
Yep.
And this...
Well, in all fairness, I got to tell you, if you have an armed Marine like we had there and a shooter comes in the door, I'm going to put all my money on the Marine being the better shot.
Yeah.
You know, those guys train so well with weapons. You know, every Marine, their first job is as a rifleman.
Right. Exactly.
So, you know,
they're all basically trained to be sharpshooters.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I got another text from Carl about Joaquin Castro, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. We got a whole bunch of other stuff to talk over, too.
How many cultures is he trying to span with a name like that?
He's a smart politician, I guess. All right, we'll find out more when we come back. All right, a little journey separate ways there. We need to separate our ways from the Mitch McConnells and the John Bonehead Boehners and the St. Pauli Girl Ryans of this world. Welcome back to the show, folks. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, 407-774-8255. We are coming to you live on AM 660, The Answer, and FM 105.5, The Answer. In a few minutes here at 6:30, the Rays pregame show is going to start. The Rays are back and playing baseball in the Trop tonight. But you'll still be able to listen to us by going to am660theanswer.com. Or is it fm105.5theanswer.com, Nick? Do they have a website? He's smiling. He doesn't know. He'll
find
out.
It's so new.
Anyway, just go to am660theanswer.com.
The bridge master doesn't know. We stumped the bridge master.
It's on the bridge.
I don't think there's an actual URL for that yet.
Okay, but it's still.
Oh, sure. You're blaming on the techies.
You go to am660theanswer.com, or, of course, you can download the free app into your smart device, am660theanswer, at your app store. And listen to us that way. Or like Sherry, well, as long as we have an open line, you can call us and just listen to us as we'll put you on hold. As you can... Sherry, go ahead and call if you want to at the bottom. Anyway, real quick, and then I'll get to the phone call. Hold on there, Mike. Monday, a week from Monday, I should say.
Yep, the 3rd.
The 3rd of August. We're going to be doing a live remote broadcast at Dubstred Country Club. They're going to be doing a golf tournament there, the World's Greatest Golf Outing. And that's the website, the World's Greatest Golf Outing. I'm going to say golfouting.com. And it's going to benefit the Wounded Warriors Project. The price per player is only $55, and that gets you on the course.
Yep.
It gets you drinks. It gets you food. It gets you a goodie bag, and it gets you a whole lot of fun. And we'll be there. There are 2 tee times, 8 and 1:30, and you're going to be playing, Ken?
Yes, we are. Yep, got to force myself. I was golfing with Mike McBath on Wednesday, and he mentioned it. And we talked about it, and then he calls me on Thursday. Oh, by the way, did you want to play? Oh, thanks, Mike.
Are you going to be shooting and teeing off in the morning?
Or shoot for the 8 o'clock tee time. That way we can be there all day.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day, and it's going to go on into the evening. Even if you don't play golf, it's worth paying the $55 just to come over and have fun.
Yep.
And help out a great cause, the Wounded Warriors Project. That's worldslargestgolfouting.com, or you can call Dubs Dread at 407-246-2551. That's 407-246-2551, extension 3. That's World's Largest Golf Outing, Monday the 3rd, 2 tee times, 8 and 1:30. You can play either or both, and do come on out there. I can't wait to do the show and then afterwards try some of that moonshine.
Ooh,
we're
yeah.
talking about some moonshine.
Yeah. And Dubs Dread is a great golf course. It's
beautiful.
One of the city-owned golf courses,
yeah.
But it can be an obstacle course, and occasionally it turns into a shooting gallery because you have a road that runs in between a couple of the holes. So if a car is going by and you're driving right at the same time, you can try to. Like,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun. It's a great course. I always enjoy playing Dubs Dread.
All right. We hope to see you out there August the 3rd. Do come out and join us. Real quick, I want to read this from Carl. We were talking a while ago, and then I'll go to your phone call, Mike. We were talking a little while ago about Hillary. And Aubrey called in. He thinks she's just a setup. She's a diversion. She's a distraction. She's going to suck up some of the Republican attention and money, but that she's not going to be there. And certainly, if the Democrats want to have a chance of winning this election, she's not going to be the horse that they can ride in on. Joaquin Castro, I believe, is the dark horse, so to speak. And Carl says this: believe it or not, Joaquin is well known by the GOP. It's been speculated for years that he'll be the next Obama. Unfortunately for Dems, he was very weak in his speaking during the 2012 DNC. His camp has tried to pressure Hillary into choosing him for VP. Yeah, he was a weak speaker at that DNC, but if I remember correctly, when Bill Clinton spoke as the keynote speaker in 1988, I believe it was, he was almost booed off the stage because he was so boring. The speech just went on and on and on. So I wouldn't read too much into that, Carl, but you're absolutely right. He is on the radar, and they need to be ready for him should he get in either as a vice presidential candidate or as a presidential candidate.
And I think the way you get ready for that is by picking the strongest horse we have and running him for everything we can.
All right. Let's find out what Mike thinks. Mike, thank you for calling and holding tonight.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Good.
Yourself?
Thanks.
Good. Hey, I was thinking about what you guys were saying. And the thought of speaking truth to power came to mind. And I called the other night and I said, you know, all my really close friends thought I was a complete ass. And when they first met me, I asked my wife about that. How many of my friends, what did they think about me?
Because you speak truth.
Yeah. And so we can't be afraid to do that. And when it comes to stuff, that's why Donald Trump's popular. You know, I start counting. There's probably six, maybe seven contenders in the Republican Party who have balls. Donald Trump, Carly Fiorina, and as a woman, she would not take offense to that because it would actually
she's a CEO.
It wouldn't demean her in any way.
No, nope.
You know what I mean. So,
yep.
And there's a few others. So, anyway, in my personal experience, I took my son to see Act of Valor a few years ago. And my father-in-law got really mad at me because it was R-rated. He was 8, and he goes, well, what the heck? I go, well, there's no nudity. There's some cussing. He goes, well, why the heck did you do that? And I said, because I wanted to instill him a sense of gratitude for the people who give us our freedom. And he goes, well, why would you want to do that? And I go, because we live in the greatest country on earth. And then he said this. He goes, well, what makes you think that? And I went nuts because I love history. I call here all the time. I know what I'm talking about. I can back it up with facts.
Sure.
So
sure.
If you can back things up with facts, and so with him anyway, he wouldn't talk to me for 3 months. And
that's a blessing.
Yeah, it was. He thought he was punishing me somehow. But anyway, later on, I never groveled and apologized. I just said, you know, this is what I think. If you don't like it, that's not my problem. That's yours.
Yeah.
You need to regroup on this. Anyway, 6 months ago, I saw a guy with a "I'm ready for Hillary" sticker, and I pulled up beside him and I asked him. You know, I had my daughter with me and my wife, and I kind of snapped again. I rolled down the window. I asked him. I go, "Roll down your window," and he rolled down his window. I go, "I couldn't help but see you had the 'Ready for Hillary' sticker." He started to glow like. You know, he was coming down from on high. The Holy Spirit had just gone into his head. And I go, could you pull over and talk to my daughter? She's 6 years old. Please tell her everything you know about Hillary, because she's never, ever met a complete moron before. And his demeanor changed, oddly enough.
Really?
And,
he actually comprehended what you were saying.
Yeah. And
wow.
And my wife hit me and she goes, so anyway, a couple days later, I saw another one of
did.
These, and it was a man, and he had his kids, and I was by myself. I said the same thing, and he goes, "You know, I'm the head of the Democratic Party in West Palm Beach." I go, "Really? They got a lot of morons down there, do they?"
And can't count.
He goes, "Yeah," and I go, "Good for you. God bless you. You know, I hope you do well."
Yeah.
And I moved on, but his kids had saw somebody confront his ideas.
Yeah. Well,
for the first time, and I didn't have to hit him. I didn't have to cuss at him. I didn't have to do anything other than just say, "You're a moron."
Well,
maybe that's extreme, but
that's the direct approach.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Mike, I appreciate it. I'm running out of time. Gotta let you go.
Sorry, guys.
Thanks
Bye.
For the phone call. We appreciate it. That's
be well.
Right. You shouldn't be afraid to speak the truth. You should be afraid if you are afraid not to speak the truth.
Mike should sit down with his kids in front of the TV and show every John Wayne movie ever made.
Every parent
in
should
harm's
do that.
Way.
Every
all the good ones
should do that.
You know,
that's
Dream
right.
Beret.
Him
yep.
and him and. Oh, was it Maureen O'Sullivan?
Maureen. Oh, yeah.
O'Hara.
Quiet Man.
Yeah. All right. Stick around. We'll be.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad. Oh, hi. Hello, Florida. This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as the star Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my tuna booty.
Johnny B. Bad, you know, and the nice thing about that is that everybody that's tuned in to FM 105.5 right now can still hear us, because we're still on the air live on that channel, because, hey, 660 is where they broadcast the Rays.
I'm sorry I didn't mention that, folks.
That's okay.
I got carried away, but yeah, that's right. If you've been listening on FM 105 just to see what it's like, we're still here. That's
we're still,
right.
Yep, we're still here. Yeah. We're still alive. Except, you know, I was actually thinking about leaving, because I heard there's another rally downtown Orlando for that minimum wage stuff. And
yeah.
I think I want to make $15 an hour. That'd be kind of nice.
That would be a big pay cut for you, my friend.
Yeah, but that means I'd have to give up my EBT card, though.
Well, is that right? Well, here's the funny thing about that, and there was a big rally in downtown Orlando today. I don't know how big. I wasn't there. I don't know how many people were there, but it was at the City Hall.
Right downtown, yeah, City Hall.
City Hall, and it was because of this movement in the country to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Well, let's go catty corner across the country up to Seattle.
Where
they've already done it, and see what's happening there. Well, the Seattle Local News is now reporting that people who are already getting the higher wages are asking that their hours be cut back.
Why, pray tell?
Because now they're making too much money.
I thought that's why you were.
They have discovered that because they're making more money per hour, that, guess what? Their eligibility for food stamps is being reduced or going away. Their subsidy for Obamacare is being reduced or going away.
That's right.
And all these other little perks that I don't know how, what
they're,
all
they're right? actually becoming they're, contributing members to the economy.
Oh, Obama phones are.
Wait
getting,
a minute. Yeah. Taxes. Oh, my God.
So, but this is the point, though. They have gotten so institutionalized to living off the government tit, so to speak, that even when given the opportunity to earn more money, have more money to spend, and be able to now take care of yourself, they choose not to.
Exactly.
They would rather work less and stay on the government dole.
Yeah.
And that's nothing more than thievery when you think about it.
Yeah.
It is simple thievery when they're given, they have a job, they're given more money, they demanded it, they asked for it, and now when they're given it,
Oh, no, we don't want that.
Ooh.
What did I ask for? Oh, my gosh. What did I do?
Exactly.
Well, unintended consequences.
If this unintended consequence continues, here's what will happen, though. The Democrats will come along and say, well, that's why we have to do this at the national level, so that we can balance things out for everyone.
The idiocy
just continues.
It really does. And I'm sorry, but, you know, a minimum wage job was never meant to support a family of four.
It was not.
It was. It's an entry-level position to show you what you didn't want to do for the rest of your life. At least that's what it was when I was growing up.
And same with me. It was a chance to put some money in your pocket, get to know what it feels like to earn a paycheck, be able to pay some bills of your own, buy some stuff for yourself, and you know, learn a good work ethic.
Exactly.
And this is the opposite. By raising the minimum wage, the people are now wanting to work less.
Well, and I don't know how many, you know, small businesses out there are going to be able to support this kind of stuff.
And that's another problem that they're finding.
You know, Bernadette and I own pizza shops and hair salons up north. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but I could not survive in a pizza shop paying all the workers I had working there for $15 an hour.
No. No, what they're doing in California and other places where these things are going into effect is they're looking more towards automation.
Yeah.
Or closing down or laying people off. I mean, those are basically the three options they have. Or raising prices, which is very difficult to do. So that's the least attractive option. I mean, they would love to do that if it was that easy.
Yeah, and did you also hear what the restaurants in Seattle are doing?
What's that?
Well, they're actually collecting the tips.
Oh, right.
And saying the tips now belong to the house.
Right.
Because we're paying you so much money.
$15 an hour.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then they have to do that.
I'm sorry. You've got to make money somehow.
If they're going to survive as a business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, let's go to Sherry. Sherry's holding on the line. Sherry, thanks for calling. And by the way, have you tried to listen to us on FM 105.5?
Well, on my radio, I can't pick up FM very well.
I tried
finding the station earlier this evening, but
yeah.
I can't find it.
Well, it's funny because on FM, you actually have to have an antenna. On an AM station or on an AM radio, you don't need much of an antenna. But on FM, you kind of have to have an antenna that sticks up above the radio.
Okay, well, I have one, but I didn't stick it up.
Well, just try that next time. But you will be able to listen to us. Right now, we are on FM 105.5.
Okay, I was going to ask you that yesterday.
I wish you had because it would have reminded me to find out and make sure we were. But
okay,
in the future, I'll know.
Find it.
Okay.
I was calling to talk about Joaquin.
Yeah, Joaquin Castro.
Castro. You know he has a twin brother.
No, I did not know that. My Lord.
We're just going.
At least we only got one Obama, right?
that we know of.
That we know of, right. Oh, no, I did not know that.
He has an evil twin. I've seen them both on the Sunday morning shows together.
Yeah.
Is it Juan Williams?
Hill down there from San Antonio, Texas.
They do, yes. Uh huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you imagine if they knock Hitler out and he runs and he wins and he runs his own brother as VP?
That would be interesting, at least.
We have a major country, our United States of America, and then we have Cuba. And all of them being run by the Castro brothers.
Yeah. That would be something too. I thought about that the other
maybe
night.
Maybe that's why he cut this deal.
It may
you
be.
Know, he's thinking ahead.
Thinking ahead.
I'm fundamentally changed the America.
The landscape.
Yep.
Well, even if he became president and his brother didn't run, and they didn't like what he was doing, they could switch him out.
I know. They could do the old Prince and the Pauper type thing.
Yeah,
exactly.
There was a movie years ago with Leonardo DiCaprio. I've got it on VHS tape, but I can't remember the name of it. It was about a French king.
He
did the same thing. They took the brother and put him to be raised in a monastery.
I guess twins come in handy every now and then, right?
Yeah.
Once in a while.
Man in the Iron Mask is the name of the movie.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Thanks,
Man
Nick.
Man in the Iron Mask.
Nick.
They put a mask on him.
That's right. Yeah,
Nick
came.
Nobody could recognize him.
Yeah, Nick came up with that. By the way, that was a remake of a movie that was made back in, I don't know, it was a black and white movie.
Years and years and years ago. I remember that. Yeah.
I remember seeing that black and white version of the movie at the Vogue Theater on Colonial Drive. And Mills. You remember that theater down there?
No. The only ones I ever remember are the Colony in Winter Park on Park Avenue and the Beecham on Orange Avenue.
Yeah, the Beecham Theater is still downtown there. But yeah, the Vogue is gone. There's a CVS there now, but they tore that building down a long time ago.
Where was it?
It was right on the corner of 1792 Mills and Highway 50, Colonial Drive.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And the door was like right on the corner. I mean, the sidewalk that led you into the door was right on the corner, literally.
Well, right down from there was the original first Publix they ever built.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I think it's some kind of arts and crafts store or something like that, a hobby store or something like that now.
Yeah, that's a Colonial Town Photo and Hobby.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, that was the old first Publix they ever built here.
Yeah, because I worked at that Schwinn Bicycle Shop right next to where that Publix is now. And that Schwinn Bicycle Shop's now a ballet school, I think. But the Roush family, who started that hobby shop, still run it. The old man died, but I believe two of his sons still run that.
It's a neat place.
And
it
what
is.
I like about it is they never changed the decor of it.
That's right. And they still have the doors.
Yep.
The doors that you go in and out and the clock and everything.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're right. They were very good about not changing any of that up.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great guys. I went to school with a couple of them. They're great boys. We used to build bombs. Ooh, did I say that on the air?
No, don't say that. Don't say that in an airport.
Oh, we would take little the film used to come in these aluminum cans that you screwed the top on. Well, we'd of course take the film out, poke a hole in the top of the can, and put firecrackers in there.
Oh my.
And then close it up and stick a fuse in there, wrap it up with tape, and then we would take them out and we would light them and we'd throw them in the lake and watch, you know, the explosion of the water. You do that these days, you go to jail.
There are statute of limitations on that.
I hope so. Let's see, that was 40-some-odd years ago, so I think I'm safe.
Chris is the one sitting closest to the door.
Come to get me. we were with some hellions back in those days, Sherry. I'm ashamed to say.
No, you're not.
I remember that we used to do a lot of stuff. I knew people that did a lot of stuff. They used to ride out on Genius Drive.
Oh, yeah, we're the peacocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of my friends went and dug it because it was dirt out there.
Yep.
Some of my friends, he's passed away now, Wayne Lancaster, they went out and they dug a ditch, I mean a deep ditch across there. And then they got the cops, Winter Park cops, to chase
them. ran the car into the ditch, huh?
They used to do crazy things like that in those days, man.
Yeah, sure enough.
Hey, Sherry, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How do you feel knowing that you're going to have a real nice weekend this weekend because, you know, what's-his-name's over in Kenya?
well, you know,
should have heard me talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sherry called yesterday and told us, you know, that the president over there warned him, you know, don't bring your gay marriage stuff over here. And
in an open letter, and they said, if you do, you start talking about it. We don't want it spreading here. We don't want it here at all. In the open letter, it said, we will tell you to shut up and go home.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, let's hope he doesn't then.
Yep.
The longer he stays out of the country, the better.
I know.
Yeah. Well,
Dr. K, it's wonderful having you back again.
No, it's good to be back. I was actually in Texas last week, and I was out hog hunting. And
he bagged one.
I did. I bagged a nice big one, so I'm really happy about that. Yeah. A friend of mine's ranch was being overrun by hogs, so we had to go out and take care of business. Yep. So it was fun.
Is that near Dallas?
No, actually about 2 hours west of Houston.
Oh, okay.
A place called Garwood, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Garwood.
Garwood, yeah.
All right.
Yep, yep. You needed like two and a half pickup trucks to get there.
All right, Sherry, well, you're welcome to stay on the line and listen to us
I
on
will,
your phone.
While I'm doing that, I'll try to find it also on my radio.
All right. Well, like I say, if you have, you need some kind of antenna on an FM.
Okay. Yep.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Sherry. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, if you'd like to call us, if you're listening on FM 105.5, call us and let us know how we sound. 407-774-8255 is the number. When we come back, we'll talk about Lawrence Oyangi, something like that. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, we're jamming down in a little bit of Stevie Wonder
Yaman.
Here. Yaman. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. That's Dr. Ken Vihek. I am Christopher Hart. We are live on AM660answer.com, yes, and FM 105.5.
Live.
That's right. So thanks for being with us tonight. Yep, Barack Obama is over in Kenya.
Yeah.
He arrived there today. And he'll be there for, I guess, a day or two for a visit. And he's touring around,
old homestead.
The old homestead there. That's right. And he has brought capitalism to Kenya. How has he done that, you might ask? Well, the Kenyans are over there trying to make some bucks on the president's visit. People like...
Are they selling T-shirts say, I'm with stupid?
Maybe they got some My Liberty Threads T-shirts.
There you go. That'd be fun.
He's one of his T-shirts says, "You can't fix stupid.
You can't fix stupid."
That's right.
I got to get one of those. I have a magnet on my refrigerator that says that.
Oh, okay. I'll get you one.
Okay.
I got some at home. Enoch Malur, I guess is his name.
Enoch.
Is one of these entrepreneurs. He's a street hawker. He has spent $1,300 on a truckload of Barack Obama mugs, calendars, baseball caps, and T-shirts. And he intends to sell them to Kenyan tourists who come to the towns where Barack Obama is going to be. This is in Kisumu, Kenya. Kisumu. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then there's Lawrence Oyenge, and he's selling hats that they're straw hats. Let me show you there, Dr. Kim.
Oh, yeah. And the old plantation hat.
The old plantation hat, and it's got like an American flag on the brim, going around the brim, and then the banner going around the hat says on it, Obama for President.
Hey, running for Kenya?
I think we found him something he could do.
There we go. Let him go destroy their economy.
A country that he can, he's actually, would be that's about his speed, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
the country still might be too big for him.
I think you're right. But at least in his own way, he has brought capitalism to Kenya.
He'll probably end up suing the guy for royalties.
Probably so.
Well, that's right. He doesn't have a law license. I'm sorry.
That's right. He doesn't anymore. That's right. Or never had one. Never did. That's for sure. And then there is this.
Uh-oh.
Duck Dynasty on I-35 West.
Okay.
You've heard of Duck Dynasty, the TV show,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yep.
The ducks have, the real ducks have seemed to be wanting to take over I-35 West, or I-35 West is in Minnesota. And at least on one or two occasions, at a particular intersection where this interstate crosses over another interstate, they have video cameras. And they were monitoring the highway a couple of days ago, and they noticed that some ducks were venturing out onto the highway.
Yep.
This is an interstate highway.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the cars were screeching to a halt or swerving to avoid these little ducks on the road and everything. So the Minnesota the State Patrol issued an advisory that if you come upon ducks in a situation like that, it's okay to run them over.
How inhumane.
Go ahead and just run them over.
You don't
even slow down.
That makes. You know, why don't they use the simple solution and just open up a Chinese restaurant right at that overpass?
That's it.
Those ducks disappear like that.
And the people for the ethical treatment of animals came out and said, well, obviously we don't want the ducks to be hurt, but, and this was a moment of rational thinking amongst PETA, but
really?
You know, if it comes to, you know, losing control of your car, don't lose control of your car.
Okay. what did you say PETA was? What was that acronym again?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
I always thought it was people eating tasty animals.
That's that, too.
Okay.
I wonder how many of the members of PETA are actually true vegetarians.
Oh, well, you know.
Then there is this. You've heard of the CCGS, I'm sure.
Yes.
Who is that?
I have no idea.
I thought you would know.
No.
That is the Canadian Coast Guard. So the CCGS.
Not a real service.
Well, CCGS, I guess, is Canadian Coast Guard ship because their ships are named CCGS something.
Yeah.
Well, the CCGS Amundsen, one or the other.
Amundsen,
yep. A-M-U-N-D-S-E-N, Amundsen. Is an icebreaker,
okay.
And it's on a
research. In Canada, it's redundant.
Okay, well, it's on a research mission, or at least it was scheduled to go on a research mission to study global warming.
Right.
Well, it had to postpone the mission because.
Pray tell me why.
There's too much ice.
Told you.
So the icebreaker actually has to go back to work to break up the ice so that other ships can, you know, go.
So then they can go in search of global warming.
That's right.
Here's a tip. Go south.
Go south, young man. That's right.
I'm telling you. And it's funny because it's a Coast Guard thing, you know, and you know the prerequisites to be a member of the Coast Guard, right?
What's that?
You have to be over 6 foot tall.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's so that when the boat sinks, you can walk to shore.
That's from a Navy man, folks. Rick, I know you're out there. That's from a Navy man here, okay?
Okay, well, just cracked me up.
I guess we can't get out of here without commenting about Hulk Hogan.
Oh, the Hulkster.
The Hulkster. I
should call him. I got his number on my phone.
I was going to say, you know the man.
I do know the man.
He might need your help.
No.
I don't mean that.
He doesn't need my help, brother.
No, brother.
It's so cool every time I call him. Hey, brother.
he evidently a while back made a sex videotape or
he was videotaped having sex.
Something happened. Whether he was aware of what was going on or not, I think he's disputing that. I don't know. I do know
he didn't sign a release.
Exactly, and it's being he's fighting a court battle because of that. Evidently, on this tape, and I believe. I thought it was being held up by the court with a gag order. I don't know, unless you already had the tape, that you could get one. I don't know. But somehow it came out that on the tape, he made some racially insensitive remarks, shall we say, use the N-word, in regards to his daughter's boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
That's who he was directing his comments toward. This has now come out in the open, perhaps, I don't know, because of the court case. I don't know how it came out. This story's breaking just today. But the WWE has severed their contacts with him. He said, she said, Hulk claims he quit. The WWE is claiming they severed the contract. Either way, and it's probably more likely the latter, I think, than the former, because the Hulk had a pretty good gig going with the WWE lately. He was here locally doing this, the taping of actually they were doing live shows every Tuesday night for the Tough Enough contest to come up with two new wrestlers for the WWE. They're going to give $250,000 contracts to one man and one woman.
Yep.
And he was one of the judges. And just Tuesday night, he was on Tough Enough, and this came out today. WWE has severed their contract with him, and you will not even find his likeness on their webpage, and they're probably pulling his merchandise from their store right now.
Well, you know, and I've got to, you know, because I know Terry, and I have a tough time with this story. I really do, because you're a man about town.
Well,
right, so when was the last time you were making a sex tape and you had this desire to do a dissertation on familial relationships?
Well,
I just don't see it happening.
That would have been like the second or third one. You were just kidding.
Talk later.
It's a shame. It doesn't sound like him.
No, it doesn't.
But,
not at all.
Unfortunately, He's not with WWE. Sad to see that.
And as long as I've known him, he's always been a great guy.
All right. Night, everybody.
Night.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando, a service of Salem Communications, intelligent, conservative, AM 660, The Answer.